seasoned and to preach the Word of God. I'm always excited to come back to my home church and speak here because this church holds a very special place in my heart. The people here. Am I muted? Am I on now? Is that better? Okay, yeah, it's better. Hi. Like I was saying, I'm always honored to be back at my home church, and I love speaking here. It's a kind of a weird feeling coming back to my home church to speak. It's a good kind of weird because there's so many new people here that weren't here when I went to college. I think the last time I was home, I was looking around the auditorium during a service, and I counted like 11 families or individual people who weren't at this church when I went to college. So there's a lot of people here that I don't know your names, and there's a lot of you who don't know me. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Noah Stewart. I'm Lauren and Kathy's son. That never came out of my mouth. I'm their son. It's a weird feeling introducing myself in my home church. You know, honestly, there's no recovering from that. There's no recovering from that. One of the great things about speaking at my home church is that when I use illustrations, if I use an illustration somewhere else, like at college or in another church, people usually think like, oh, that's a funny illustration, and then they move on. But when I give illustrations here, you guys know me. And you guys, a lot of you could totally see me doing some of these things. For example, since I've gone to college, I'm now in my last semester at college. One of the worst feelings I've experienced is that feeling that you get when you get up in the morning, your day's going great, you get ready for your classes, maybe you go get some breakfast, and you walk into your first class at 8 a.m. in the morning, and you realize that you have a test, and you haven't studied for that test. Now, I know probably a lot of you haven't experienced that feeling, some of you have, but there's a lot of people in this room that aren't surprised that I would, that I would experience that feeling. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about people like Mrs. Cross, who knows me as the kid who drove into school at 7:55 every morning. I was right on time, or I was 1 minute late every morning. Or Mrs. Barraclough, who during my speech classes, I was always memorizing my speeches at the last minute, or just not memorizing them and stumbling my way through my speeches. And Dr. Rickard, this one made me laugh when I was thinking about it. Speaking of tests, I remember one time in high school, I think I got a grade on a test that I didn't love. I didn't love the grade. So I went to Dr. Rickard to talk to him about it. And he asked me, he said, "Well, Noah, did you study?" And I said, "Dr. Rickard, I studied for a whole hour." And I honestly was like, "I studied for an hour for this test." And he's like, "Well, Noah, you might need to study more than an hour." And now I've been in college and I realize, oh my goodness, I've only studied for an hour. Or in this case, I hadn't studied at all for my test. Now that's all fun and kind of funny, but being unprepared for a test in college, it truly is an awful feeling. But imagine with me the feeling of being unprepared for the day that we meet our Maker, for the day that we stand before God Almighty. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open them up to the book of Amos. We're going to be in the book of Amos tonight. The book of Amos, as well as the book of Joel, they're very similar books. The book of Joel was written to the southern kingdom of Judah, while Amos was written for the northern kingdom of Israel. But both books were written as a warning to God's people that judgment was coming. And this judgment wasn't it was a judgment because of their sinful lifestyles. This was a lifestyle that they had chosen. It wasn't because they had sinned once or twice, but it was because they kept sinning over and over again. We would see that, honestly, let's take a minute to look at Amos chapter 1. We're going to spend most of our time and Amos 4, but this is important to understand what the whole book of Amos is talking about. It's a warning of God's judgment on Israel. Now, throughout Amos chapter 1, we're going to look at a few verses, and there's one phrase I want you to focus on, and you'll know it when you see it. Okay, so look with me at Amos chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus, and for four, I will not turn away my punishment thereof," or turn away the punishment thereof. Jump to verse 6. "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof." Verse 9, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyrus, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof." It goes on in verse 11, verse 13, chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab," and it goes on and on. Now, this is a book that is written to Israel. This is God speaking to Israel. What does that phrase, "for three transgressions and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof"? What God is saying, he's saying, it's not because you've sinned once or even twice, but because you've sinned three and four times. It's because you keep sinning over and over and over again, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. And an interesting thing to notice here is that all of these places that God says he will judge, that he will punish them, these are Israel's enemies. You can imagine with me what was going through the mind of the Israelites as Amos reads this book or this letter. You can imagine how they hear that God is going to judge. The first one was, God is going to judge Damascus. And then the next one was Gaza, the Philistines. God's going to judge the Philistines. He goes on to say, he'll judge the Ammonites and he'll judge all of our enemies. And you can just kind of imagine with me that, I mean, the Bible doesn't say this, but I feel like we can imagine that the Israelites were probably somewhat happy that their enemies are going to be judged, that the people that are against them are going to be judged by their God. And they may even feel a place of security and not realizing that they themselves are about to come under God's judgment. Look with me at Amos chapter 2, verse 6. This is after God has declared judgment on all the enemies of Israel. And they may feel somewhat happy that their enemies are going to be judged. God says this. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes." Israel, it was now Israel's turn for God's judgment. Now with that in mind, with the idea that the book of Amos is a book declaring God's coming judgment on Israel, jump with me to Amos chapter 4. And this is where we're going to spend the rest of our time tonight. Look with me at Amos chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 9. It says, "I have smitten you with blasting and mildew." This is God speaking to Israel. He says, "I have smitten you with blasting and mildew. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer wort devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and as ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord." Verse 12. "Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." That's a sobering thought. That's a sobering statement. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. In this passage, we see that one day, each of us will have a meeting with our God. And we need to be prepared for that meeting. Why should we prepare for our meeting with God? In this passage, we see that God gave Israel warning after warning of his coming judgment. But when they didn't listen to those warnings, they had to face the judgment of Almighty God. I only have the 2 points for you that Israel was warned by God and then they were judged by God. So let's get into this passage here tonight. Let's look first at the warnings that God gave to Israel. Look with me again at verse 10. He says, I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword and have taken away your horses and have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. God was sending all kinds of warnings. He's trying to get a hold of Israel's attention. Israel is in a comfortable place right now. They think they're getting away with their sin. They think God won't judge them. They're comfortable with where they're at. But all along, God's been trying to get a hold of their attention. He's been sending them warnings. He's been, if we were to look at verse 7, we would see that God had sent drought. He had sent a famine. Verse 9 goes on to talk about how he sent these palmer worms, these worms to devour their crops. Verse 10 goes on to say how he sent plagues like what Egypt had, that the young men were dying, their horses were dying. Their life wasn't ideal. God's trying to gently get a hold of their attention. God was knocking, but no one was listening. Sometimes I feel like we try to hold on to our sin as long as possible. We try to push the limits of God's mercy. Why do we test our God? It could be that there's someone here tonight that maybe there's something in your life that you know you shouldn't be allowing in your life, something that maybe other people know about it. Maybe it's something that you know you need to get rid of, but you're comfortable. God's been warning you through the preaching of his word, maybe your own reading of the word, maybe through people in your life challenging you, saying, hey, you should maybe get that out of your life. God's been sending you gentle warnings, but maybe you're not listening. Maybe it's a secret sin, a sin that no one else knows about, something that you think that you're getting away with, and you think that it's not affecting anyone else. It's not affecting my family. It's not affecting my friends. Well, it's not affecting them yet. There could be something in your life that you need to get rid of. You need to get it out of your life, but you're not getting rid of it because the consequences for it aren't bad enough yet. Israel looked at their sin and they looked at their consequences and decided that their consequences weren't bad enough. You know, sometimes we think that we're getting away with our sin. We think that that no one else is affected by the things that we have in our life. But we're comfortable with our sin until God decides, okay, they're not listening. They're not listening to my warnings. And so now it's time to make it hurt. It's time to make them uncomfortable. And it's not until God makes our life uncomfortable that we start listening. It's not until our lives get turned upside down that we listen. It's not until that secret sin is no longer a secret and our testimony is ruined and now we're embarrassed or our life is uncomfortable because the thing that we held on to, the thing that God had warned us to get rid of and he gently warned us, he is no longer gently warning us. Why do we test the limits of God's mercy? Israel, it honestly got to the point where Israel didn't take God seriously. God warned them over and over and over again, And he sent sign after sign trying to tell them to repent of their sins and to change their sinful lifestyle. But they ignored it. You see, you can always pick your choices, but you can't pick your consequences. No longer would Israel ignore God. God had warned them, but now it was time for them to face God's judgment. This brings me to my second point for tonight, is God's judgment on Israel. Look with me at verse 12 and verse 13 again. Verse 12 says, "Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." If I could tell you that in 1 minute from this moment, you will be standing in the throne room of God, you'll be standing before your Creator, God Almighty, would you feel prepared? Would you feel satisfied with how you've lived your life? If most of us are honest, we would not. I would not feel satisfied with how I've lived my life. We just finished up the year 2021. Would you be satisfied with how you lived 2021? Maybe even a more practical thought. We've just finished the first week of 2022. Are you satisfied with how you lived this last week? Are there things that we're holding on to in our life that we need to get rid of? If you were to stand before God today, would you feel prepared? Notice that Amos didn't ask Israel to prepare. He didn't ask them if you're going to meet your God or when will you meet your God. He says, prepare to meet thy God. Because one day, each of us will meet our God. One day, each of us will stand before our Maker. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment." One day, we will all stand before God. And it could be that there are some people in this room who are unprepared to meet God, and unprepared in the sense that you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. That you know that there's a way of escape. You know that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that we can be justified, so that we can be declared righteous in God's eyes, and yet you've never made that choice to accept the free gift. You've never made the choice to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's not a matter for you of not having a way of escape. It's a matter of not accepting the way of escape. And my challenge to you today, or rather tonight, is to prepare to meet thy God. That is the most important decision you will ever make. And it is a decision that one day, honestly, I'm just speaking frankly, if you do not make that decision, you will regret being unprepared to meet your God. And God is a God of love. God is a loving God, and He's not willing that, as 2 Peter 3:9 says, it says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I urge you, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you from your sins, I urge you to do that tonight. But what about those of us here who have asked Jesus Christ to save us, who are currently, we're believers, we're the children of God? Are you prepared to meet thy God? Would you be satisfied with how you lived your life if you stood before him today? Maybe it is that you have something in your life. Maybe you have some sin or or something that you've been holding on to in your life that maybe even you're justifying it in your mind. We tend to have these sins in our lives that we justify ourselves with. We say, oh, it's not that bad. Or God's not displeased with that sin. We try to change the nature and the character of God into someone who accepts our sin. We try to make excuses for our sins, but we can't change the nature of our God because He is our Creator. We don't get to decide what God's character and what God's nature is like. God is unchanging. Romans 1:22 through 23 says, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man." It could be that there's some sin in your life, something that God's been warning you gently, trying to get you to get that out of your life, whether it's through the preaching of the word or through godly people that He's put in your life. And you might be justifying that sin as, oh, it's not that bad. God's not displeased with that. Well, my challenge to you is don't change the nature of God. Don't try to justify yourself to God. We know from God's word what's right and wrong. And so I would challenge you to get right with God. So what is, as we close here tonight, it's you guys are going to get out of here early. I believe it was Mr. Rumford. He told me before I got up here, he said, "Noah, make it short. 2 points. I want 2 points." I'm like, "Well, you got 2 points." So what is a practical way that we can prepare to meet our God? You don't have to turn there. You can if you want. I'm turning to Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90, where we find, I believe, a very simple, a very practical way for how we can be preparing to meet our God. Psalm 90 verse 4 says this. It says, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night." So David is saying, he's saying that 1,000 years in thy sight are as one day in our sight. Flip to look over at verse 12. Psalm 90 verse 12. "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." How do we prepare to meet our God? Well, I believe one practical way to do that is to ask God to teach us to number our days, to realize that this could be our last day. That if I were to stand before God today, I need to be satisfied with how I lived today. Rather, not so much that I need to be satisfied with how I lived, but that God needs to be satisfied with how I lived. We need to beg God to teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I ask you, are you prepared to meet your God? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this church family. I thank you for the opportunity to come speak with them. And Lord, I thank you most importantly for your word and the power that's in it. Lord, I thank you for the challenge that this passage has been to me, Lord. It's always a great reminder, Lord, that we need to be prepared to meet you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to live with a heavenly focus, with our eyes on you and in pleasing you. Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to go out from this place and to live our lives this week with the mind of preparing to meet our God. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bow our heads for a moment.